Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Who is that? It is the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Sarah Jones!
Thank you so much. Also very famous.
Sarah Jones!
And like what? One of the early people to have to be like, yo, what the fuck is up with these NFTs, man? What are y'all doing over here with this shit?
Yeah.
Straight right-clicking shit and money laundering with
crypto
my
queen.
Yeah.
Yo, I've been saving image as...
for
three little words every woman wants to hear. Yeah. Save image as.
What do you do for a living? I right click.
That's right.
My friend was telling me about a streamer that he was watching. The streamer was like, I'm going to do an NFT. And, you know, they did bidding for it and it got up to like $200. And he was like, okay, everybody. All right. This guy won the auction. I'm going to put the NFT on screen. Okay. Nobody save it. Only him. Only that guy. Nobody else save. No, nobody else save. Okay.
Come on. Honor system. Honor system.
Honor system that NFTs. Honors.
Wait, isn't it supposed to be like not a thing that everybody can just copy and paste? I don't
know. That's the whole. But Jack, you're making a little too much sense.
You're ruining my faith in NFTs. If I don't have faith in NFTs, what do I have left?
Reached down into your deep well of faith. And...
Yes.
But you know what? You got a lot of clean drug money, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Sorry, what's good? What's new? Your background is looking very pink.
Where are you?
I'm pink, yeah. I'm all about the pink. Yeah, it's good. I got some seeds coming up. That's my underrated.
Okay. Seeds? All right.
I think is underrated seeds.
Whoa. Give it away for free
champing
in the intro.
It's chomping, but yeah.
Why do people say champing?
I thought it was champing.
Because that's how language evolves.
This episode's going to be our Seinfeld episode where I ask the hard-hitting questions like, why do we call the CW the, but not PBS?
These are things that I guarantee you in 5 years will be commonly accepted spellings that are currently considered incorrect.
Yeah.
Reins, when people say take the reins, what they should write is R-E-I-N-S.
Right.
What they usually write is R-E-I-G-N-S. And that's incorrect, but will be commonly accepted soon. Sneak peek, people commonly write S-N-E-A-K-P-E-A-K, even though that's not right. Mm-mm. But they've been doing it, so it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Artesian, fake word, soon to be real. Artisanal.
People are calling it artisanal.
Yes, people say artesian. It's not real. Artisanal, A-R-T, R-T-I-S-I-N-A-L. It should be artisanal, but doesn't matter because it's a fake language.
And they replaced artisanal with...
Artisanal with artisanal.
Artesian? Oh, okay.
Artesian and artisanal.
Got it. All right. I'm confused. Oh, interesting.
It started as champ at the bit, but also chomp began as a variant of champ. So either one is okay. So you could say champ too. So you know
that's what I'm saying.
Double KO in the grammar ring.
Champing on a red apple.
Correct.
Champing on champing on some pie here today. I kind of like that. Man. It's a
don't
fun
get me fucking started on apples, Jack. Do not get me started on apples. I swear to God, I will take over this podcast.
You love them.
Terrified right now.
Overrated.
Yeah. Wow. All right. We're about.
I got one word for you, Miles. Overrated.
Wow.
What is something from your search history?
Man, for my search history, it's not anything interesting. Dog grooming near me has been a constant search for my searches. And I have a new puppy at home, so get his nails are literally like the sharpest thing I've ever seen on an animal in my entire life. And it's just caused a lot of chaos in my life with the people around me not wanting to be around the dog anymore. So we got to get them clipped.
Mm. Wait, what kind of dog do you? Are you sure you have a dog?
Wolverine.
Yeah. I have a tiger, and they just told me it's a dog. Yeah.
Whoa.
No,
your dog just buck 50'd me across my stomach,
dude. But like, I've had puppies before. I've had dogs in the past, and I've never like experienced a dog with like just talons like this. He's a mix of a Labrador and a bulldog, and he literally like will make you bleed if he just jumps on you and like happens to catch your arm. So it's become a thing.
Oh, shit.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Damn. Yeah. That's sorted.
So you're looking to lean into that. You're looking for the right groomer to sharpen those motherfuckers up, right? And like,
I'm looking to really make him a guard dog that nobody will actually want to come to my house anymore. But
yeah,
it somehow like, you know, everybody's just really booked and busy right now. Like I want the mobile dog groomer to come to me and they're like, yeah, we're not taking any more clients. I'm like, man, people are out here like caking in the dog grooming business. And it also has me thinking to myself, I should just like buy a truck and get into this if that's what it's like that you're turning down new business at this point.
Yeah.
Wait, you're saying people are treating it like some elite preschool and they're like,
yeah,
we're just unable to take any more applicants at the moment. Like, I just need my dog's toenails cut off.
Right.
Please.
Yeah, and that's what I felt insulted because she was like, oh, are you a returning customer? I was like, no, new customer. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. No more new customers here.
Damn. And I was like, okay. Okay, so yeah, that's how I know. You definitely knew because you just thought you could just call in here and get hooked up. No.
I do remember that from like getting our dogs groomed when we like first moved out to LA, them being like, all right, well, we just need to like have them come through for an interview and then we'll, you know, see what they're like. If the energy is aligned, then we'll set up an appointment.
Right.
Damn. Okay. And then we found a place that was much cheaper and did not give a fuck. just went there.
It's funny because that's the dog grooming thing was just in that article I was reading about people who were leaving, part of the Great Resignation, that one of these people who was like dog grooming for like a bigger chain store was like, no, I'm going to just do my own thing because I'm talking to other people who I used to know from that same grind and they're loving their life now as like a mobile dog groomer or pet groomer in general. So.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing, man. I had no idea.
Power of the Zeitgang. If you're in the Garden State, and you can fit in a new client for your prestigious grooming business, please holler at Dramos.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. You're North Jersey, Mid Jersey?
I am Central Jersey, and I appreciate that you recognize that it is a real thing.
That's,
I can tell you're from the area. You spent some time out
Philly.
Here.
You might as well be in Philly if you're South Jersey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, on search history, I do just want to acknowledge, I always like to point this out whenever we have somebody on who passes this test, when you put your name into Google and then do a space, the second, the first one is DJ Dramos Breakfast Club. The second one is DJ Dramos Girlfriend. So,
Wow.
People are,
that's interesting. People I'm surprised Dr. Amos didn't show up on that one. He's apparently a doctor in Africa doing some great work. And that was always the like Google alerts that would come up when I had that set up for like Dramos. It would be Dr. Amos.
Oh, doctor. Right. Yeah. DJ Dr. Amos.
I'm moving up in the world. I've trumped Dr. Amos on the Google search. I feel really grateful.
Good for you. What is something you think is overrated?
All right, so I think this is going to piss a lot of people off, but I think that Breaking Bad is overrated.
Mm. Wow. All right, hit us.
What about it? Go on.
Okay, so I just, like, I tried watching, like, 2.5, 3 episodes and couldn't get into it. And every time I tell somebody this who's, like, a Breaking Bad stan, they tell me, you just got to keep watching. The season gets better. And my argument would be, do I really have to invest that much time into it to actually enjoy? Like, a show should be good and hook me, I feel like, from the start. I shouldn't have to, like, invest an entire season into it to actually like it. That's my argument when it comes to the show. No,
that's what's so good about the show is it fucking sucks at first, dude.
That's how you know it sucks shit, and then you fucking figure it out that it's bad, but it's too late. And then you're like, no, it was actually really good. It was actually one of the best series ever. I mean, I get that. I get that lack of momentum. That's like the whole reason I never watched Mad Men, because like I was 2 episodes in. I'm like, what the fuck? And people are like, you got to get in more. I'm like, no, I don't.
Right.
So I will keep going with something else.
I'm bad at these. Like, I don't fuck with like Game of Thrones. Like all the shows that people are like think the greatest show ever, I just can't get into it. So maybe it also is a me thing.
Oh,
right.
I bet it's probably harder. Like, because I remember I got into Breaking Bad like maybe after the second season had wrapped or the third season had wrapped, and at that point like a lot of people were talking about it. I was like, nah, I don't know, like whatever,
right?
And then I just watched it just to see, but I didn't have people being like, you gotta like watch it, like watch this episode. I was just like, my natural curiosity took me there. And I wonder if sometimes like when you feel almost obligated to watch a show to like, you know, keep up with the discourse or whatever, that it just, the motivations are a little bit different, and then it has like even more a stronger litmus test that it has to pass for you to be like, okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah, it might be the hype. Like if it doesn't, you know what I mean? Like because it's so overhyped, if it doesn't live up to your expectation of it just being like amazing from the get, it might, I don't know.
Right.
I don't get these like hype, you know, hype beast type of shows, I guess. Maybe I put too many, you know, too much expectation on them.
Yeah. Breaking Bad does stand out to me as one that like really goes up a level after the first few episodes. And by the way, for any listeners who heard, my son came to my door, my 3-year-old, to tell me there's a fly in the house. He also was not wearing any pants on his bottom. And so I had to deal with
Winnie
that.
Winnie the Pooh told you to warn, came to warn you about flies.
But he's home from school today. So apologies for any scatteredness. Breaking Bad does stand out as a show that kind of changes, like, steps up a level. I don't think Mad Men really does that
really?
Much.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh yeah, the first, like, they're like, I get it, it's slow, but like once it gets going
slow.
Though I'm like, maybe because I don't fantasize about this era in general, like
this
wasn't a good time for people like me, so I'm not necessarily like, yeah, let me go there and watch that version of
the Breaking Bad turns from like a family drama into like, you know,
full-on
Scarface.
Gangster shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I wanted some like fucking gangster shit. And then it was just like this dude with his family. And like, you know, I mean, listen, I get great storyline, but it wasn't what I was there for.
Yeah.
Well, with that, though, in mind, I'm curious if, because did you get to the part where like he gets on his gangster and starts blowing shit up?
No. I got to the part where they're like basically just figuring out what to do with that one dude in the tub, essentially.
Oh, got it. I mean, that was, I think, a moment when I was like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Things changed a little bit there. Mm. But that's season one, isn't it? Dude, honestly, I don't even know anymore. I'm like all over the place with shows that have come out. Wait, what's a show that you do like of all the, you know, like when people talk about the great shows, like what's one that you vibe with? Or are you just in generally like, I don't really think any of these are good.
No, I mean, I'm trying to think of like what the hype. I liked like, Sons of Anarchy. I have no shame of saying that. Like, it, you know, fell off a couple of seasons, but like of the hype, I was into it. I followed it till the very end, you know.
Wow.
Did you watch The Sopranos?
Sopranos, I never have sat down and watched an episode. So that one I'm willing to, but I've never actually sat and watched an episode.
Okay.
Okay, The Wire?
The Wire, same thing.
Wow. Okay, so you got, I think you,
I know.
There's some good ones in there, but I don't know. I mean, in general, if maybe the long form TV doesn't really get you, then it doesn't get
you. It might be daunting now because there's so many seasons. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like to catch up on it all, like, you know, it's just, I can binge watch it for a long time. But I feel like Sons of Anarchy was like one episode a week. I can commit to that, you know, where it's like now being able to watch every episode at one time, it feels like, you know, I don't know. Oh, Entourage. Entourage, I love that show from start to finish, like first season. All right, that one, that's my show. That's definitely one.
Especially
all
when they were making Medellin, you know. It was getting good.
Classic. Super producer Anna Hosnier was asking if you like Boardwalk Empire, but I can just tell already. That's a South Jersey show.
I can't fuck with it. Sorry.
If you didn't like Sopranos, he's not going to fuck with Boardwalk Empire. Come on.
Yeah, I got to draw the line there.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. I know you guys have mentioned, you talked about it on this week, but Spotify Wrapped.
Mm. Okay. Mm. Yeah.
I was of two minds. It's either overrated or perfectly rated, depending on like what your timeline is like. I think it's fun. And I was thinking it was really fun, except I have some questions about my numbers. I think some of the data is off.
In what sense?
Lorde was in my top five, and I love Lorde, and I love Lorde's back catalog, but I hated the new album. So I was like actively not streaming her this year. And she was like my number three, allegedly my number three most streamed artist. And that just doesn't feel right to me.
Are there playlists maybe it was coming on passively? Like you weren't intending to play it, but you're just rocking with some playlists and it was on there? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I do listen to Melodrama a lot, so it's possible. But okay. I don't know. And then I found out that there's this intern, this girl who used to intern at Spotify, her name's Jewel, who tweeted, and she was like, me watching the Spotify rap knowing that I pitched this as an intern and I'm getting like $0 from it. And it's like, it's just classic. And she's really cool about it. She's like, I get it. I'm not trying to litigate this or anything like that. But here's my pitch deck. And if you look at her pitch deck, it looks exactly like how all the slides look for the new interactive Spotify rap. Because she pitched it when they did Spotify rap where it was just a link.
Yeah,
you get like a list or whatever.
Right.
And this pitch deck is like this incredible, like just exactly the genius brain thing a 22-year-old would, who's super fluent with social media, would come up with. And, you know, Spotify has a statement that's like, we get a lot of ideas from, you know.
Oh, shit.
It's just like,
we hear a lot of ideas a lot of the time. Yeah. So.
And Jewel's okay. She's like presenting at Art Basel this weekend or something like that.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah, she's cool. She's doing it. But it's still like the ethics of internships and whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And also apologies for everyone, because I'm spamming the fucking timeline with retweets.
Well, I do think it's nice. I do really like that they have the podcast section, because I really like using Spotify for podcasts more than Apple Podcasts. I always thought that was like annoying. And making podcasts big on Spotify is good. And this year, everyone tagging their favorite creators and stuff, it rules. I think that's nice. That's not overrated, but
I wish I had. I just use the iHeartRadio app, so I don't really get those metrics. But I think it's coming down the road. I think eventually, right?
Is that you just like being an iHeartRadio good company boy, or
no? It's the just the best app, and iHeartRadio is number one for audio, so it's pretty obvious.
Oh, I love
it's
that. Like, yeah, I love iHeartRadio.
Wherever you get your podcast, wherever you get your podcast, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, actually, I'm just kidding. I'm on the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, please, just kidding. Yeah,
please
don't
shout out me.
Oh, you thought? Yeah, no, I was kidding, because yeah, of course we all use iHeartRadio.
Oh, that's right. I'm not seeing your podcast come up on the iHeartRadio app anymore, Ellie.
No. Also, iHeartRadio, if you want a Taylor Swift podcast.
Just
kidding. What is something you think is underrated?
Well, I'm in Auckland, New Zealand, and we are actually, we've just celebrated our 100th day of our lockdown. So it's obviously a huge accomplishment in and of itself, but it does come with missing you're both making quite, you're sort of scrunching up your faces at me.
You did 100 days.
Yeah.
3 months. Do you guys know when you're getting out? This feels like if I were in prison for life and someone's like, man, I got 5 months in here, but we made it through the first three. We're good. I'd be like, fuck you.
We're almost out. And it's, you know, it's been a long time, but it's done its job. But I miss socializing. You'll be shocked to hear.
Do you?
And one of the things I'm looking forward to, which I think is underrated, is getting into a car with four adult friends, getting like five grown-ups in a car. Because technically, a car is designed to accommodate five grown-ups, but as soon as you do it, you know they never thought it would actually happen.
Instantly regrettable every time.
Yeah. And there's just, there's something I like about that.
There's a camaraderie.
Yeah. And like, you know, being in the middle and the back, and you think there's not enough space back here.
Right.
I just want to feel the experience of socializing, I guess is what I'm saying. Maybe I think socializing is underrated.
But mainly it's the just being like crushed into a moving vehicle.
I feel like, and this might, you know, we're rounding into summer here and I'm getting excited and I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, yeah. But there's something about like if I get into a car with four other adults, it's usually because we're going somewhere exciting or a little bit, you know, it's a little bit hard to get to or a little bit far away. And I want that feeling.
Listen, I respect it. I went bowling for the first time like in 15 years 2 weeks ago, but it was also the first time I saw more than like two friends in their house. We were trying to socially distance and be respectful and not kill each other, and it was wonderful. We got drinks, there was pizza involved. It was pretty close to heaven after being trapped in my house. I had a work meeting in person the other day, guys. It's mind-blowing. Wow. I was like, are we in an office talking to each other, drawing on walls? Who knew life was this glorious? I really feel like the pandemic has given me a new lease on life, in that like I just really want to appreciate every day I don't have to be inside of my house.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great. Just like, Joel, you weren't here for this, but Guy was just lording it over us for all this time.
Oh, wow.
While we were in America as the United States was crumbling around us and we weren't allowed out of the house. Guy was like, yeah, I just went to a sporting event and it was wonderful and freeing. How's it going over there though? Even though we had just talked for 15 minutes about how it's going over here.
Guy, disappointing.
That's okay. You know, I'm a centurion now. So I've experienced some of those liberties, and now I also have the sense of participation and accomplishment that comes with being in your house for a very long time.
Yeah. You basically spent summer break grounded. And while I respect the hard time you have done, we're quickly approaching year three. So long in this damn house.
I know. This is what I say. I say, am I the only, the novel coronavirus, am I the only one of us who thinks the novelty has well and truly worn off?
I mean, that's good material right there. I think I have a booster coming up, so
yeah,
that's exciting.
Oh, you gotta get those boosters,
right? Mm-hmm. Am I right? All right, let's take a quick break. We're gonna see if we can't track down Robert Evans, and we will be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X, fit for you just as you are.
And we're back. And so I guess everybody knew this already. I just, it gave me hope that we might be seeing some shit in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial after, I don't know, heading into it, I was like, I'm not gonna let shit, anything drop, right? Like, they killed Epstein. Like, why would they let her come out and say the shit? But yeah, in court yesterday, one of the pilots of the Lolita Express,
the pilot, I believe, right?
Yeah, like the pilot, to the point that Jeffrey Epstein, like, put his kids through college, like, literally, like, paid their tuition, bought him a home with, like, acres in New Mexico. So he was on those flights. Said he had seen Clinton and Prince Andrew, which had gotten, like, most of the attention, and which I think we had seen on flight logs, but also confirmed having seen Donald Trump on the flights. The pilot claims he never saw underage girls without their parents or knew of any sexual activity happening on the plane. But
just because she's calling him daddy doesn't mean she's his parent.
Right.
He's her parent.
Yeah.
Also, it makes sense. It's noisy in a jet with the door closed to the cockpit.
Right. And also,
Jeffrey Epstein had so many daughters.
Right. Right. And it was probably pretty incriminating if he did know about that. So, you know, I'm sure he's not.
I just imagine him at the front, like a school bus driver, just being like, you guys keep quiet back there. Yeah.
Don't make me land.
Shut up. This is unsafe.
Yeah. Put your seatbelts on. That first day, though, it's wild. Like, because Maxwell's lawyer came out fucking swinging. She was like, yo, they're trying to make her a scapegoat, fam. Just because Epstein's dead, they had to put the attention on somebody else. And then, like, the prosecutors had to keep objecting every time she's like, she's a scapegoat. And they're like, objection. Or they'd be like, she's a stand-in for Jeffrey Epstein. They're like, objection. This is not.
Yeah.
She's we see what you're trying accomplice. To do. Then, like, dragging the victims, too.
Yeah. So that's the part of their strategy that I was, at least, you know, thought there might be some promise for us finding out some shit is that it seems like they're going to make the case that she was like one of Epstein's victims, basically, like she was being manipulated by him. And like, if that is the strategy, which it seems like it is at least partially the strategy, you know, that would, it does seem like they would want to prove like that all the powerful influence that he had over powerful people, because that would make him more unfuckwithable. So I don't know. That's what I'm hoping, is that they kind of develop that and are like, yeah, I mean, he told me he had compromising material on Bill Clinton and Donald Trump.
Right. If you're fully going to like dish it off the bad guy role to the even bigger bad guy, I mean, you would have to do that. Otherwise, I don't think the strategy as it is of being like, oh, one of the accusers like does drugs.
Right.
And it's like, what?
And just wants money.
She was no angel.
Right. No, literally. And then, you know, she said like off the top, she was like, since the dawn of Adam and Eve, she said, ever since Eve was accused of tempting Adam with the apple.
Yeah.
Women have been blamed for men's bad behavior. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a, yeah, they're trying. Her defense is trying a lot of different strategies.
Pretty strong comparison there.
Yeah. No, for sure. I totally. But I think at this point when it's like so
ever
clear,
since one man stood up and was crucified for fucking underage girls,
right,
people have been trying to bring down a powerful guy with powerful ideas.
Right.
My name is Jeffrey Epstein and I am like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's he doing here?
All right. So this is all to say we'll be keeping an eye on that trial, probably updating you if anything interesting happens.
Yeah.
The Democrats, speaking of interesting, it seems like they finally have their priorities straight. They are going after bots.
Yeah, bots. You say, what the fuck is a bot? And why?
I hate bots.
In the middle of a pandemic and rapid exponential income inequality, why are we focusing on bots? And that's
the bots are the ones changing the climate, Miles.
Thank you. Right. The bots are the ones that are preventing the Build Back Better Act from getting passed. So let's put it this like this. If you've tried to buy a PS5 or an Xbox Series X and an NVIDIA GeForce RTX card, Beyonce's Ivy Park apparel, or even Pokemon cards on the internet, chances are you have been greeted with some shit that says sold out. And you're asking yourself, but I logged in at the time that the stuff was supposed to drop and be available, and I clicked everything, I put it in my cart in under a minute, and it was still sold out. How can that be? Well, that's because of the reselling market's use of bots. And basically, they're just like computer programs that are able to add items to carts with all the needed payment and like shipping information like instantaneously. So like you're just getting beat technologically to just put these things in a cart and process a transaction. So then scalpers and resellers take shit like to eBay or StockX and sell it for, you know, a huge markup and make a lot of money. There's a story about a 16-year-old kid who did $1.7 million in revenue by reselling PS5s and all kinds of shit that he was using bots for. Damn. And only his profit, though, only $110,000. Okay, so leave him alone.
SEC. Wait, where's he getting that seed money from?
I think, look, you probably, if you start real small, right, you get one PS5 and you sell it for double, now you got double, and you pour that back into two PS5s that you can get with bots, and then you double. I mean, there's, you just got to start really
small. It's just fucking, it's Flash Boys, but with PS5s.
But it's, it's like saying he put in 1.6 million and made 1.7. Like that suggests that at some point he had $1.6 million.
I think that was his net revenue. So okay. I don't know if that's just basically, I think over when you add up everything that he sold, right, and then taking off, like recouping
what
his
he
little
put back in
cut. Yeah. That it
I don't know
to
how
that.
Numbers work.
Me either. And it doesn't matter. But that's why Representatives Paul Tonko of New York, Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, Chuck Schumer, and Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico, they have all announced they're pushing for the Stop Grinch Bots Act. Like, okay, what the fuck is this? This is some shit that's been kicking around the hill for like a couple of years. But specifically, the Stopping Grinch Bots Act would expand on a law passed in 2016 that outlawed bots from circumventing control measures to put tickets to like music concerts and sports, like essentially just saying making it illegal for scalpers to resell tickets like this. And this legislation that they're pushing now would essentially take, say, this applies now to all online retail sites. So if you're a sneakerhead, you're like, oh, shit, look at that. I might have a chance at getting a sneaker. Or if you want your Pokemon card, or fuck it, even sometimes you see restaurant reservations go up instantly because people use bots to even get restaurant reservations. So,
you know, what would be really bad is if they use these to vote.
Yeah. Well, look, one
that
thing
would be bad.
Time.
We should stop it before they can do that.
Right.
But yeah, one thing at a time.
We got to get in early on this problem.
So, I mean, I think this on one level, you're like, okay, that's interesting. But this also feels like a real low effort attempt to make it seem like the party's doing something. And like that there's like, yeah, we get it. Supply chain stuff. Like we hear complaints from parents trying to get certain things. And it's these fucking bots, you know? So we're going to handle that and vote blue no matter who, huh? All right. Thanks.
They'll always, they'll always act when it's in the interest of like people spending money, consumerism, like making consumer culture, like
unless that, it's like consumer protections. It's like that weird fine line. Right. It's like, yeah, we're gonna make it easier for you to give away your money, but we're gonna make it hard as fuck to get your money back.
Right. Exactly.
It's like a fucking like a old school like wooden fish trap where it's like they get in but it can't come out.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, a teenager making money on the internet, that's that could be a big problem if we don't do something about it.
Absolutely. What's next?
$110,000? That's
for a child?
That's absurd. No, but a child should not be making that much money, you know. That's adult money. Adult money for billionaires.
Yeah. 100%.
I think this is like,
was he? He's not paying. He can't be paying taxes on that $110,000. That's like 50, you know, that's like 500 grand the government's missing out on.
Yeah, where's the one IRS? Yeah.
Selfish teenager.
Yeah.
Quit asking if I'm looking at my 1099 shit. Ask this young man where the fuck his $110,000 came from. IRS, the fuck.
Yeah, it's, you know, it could be cool if online sales worked better. I feel like it's maybe like the 500th priority that they should be paying attention to right now, generously.
Oh, yeah. But again, that's why it just feels like one of those things that real easy win, because like Chuck Schumer's words are even like, it shouldn't be so hard during the holidays to get the gifts that you need to make memories. You know, it's like this, like, I give a fuck energy when it's not, has nothing to do with this. And I think it helps.
Bro,
take
give
the focus
me money.
Right.
Give
exactly.
me money.
About extended unemployment benefits. Okay, shut the fuck up. I said we're going to handle the bots right now. And then maybe we'll talk.
We're going to make sure you get your slippers in time. Those slippers that you ordered, you got to get them.
Especially because, you know, that was on Oprah's list. So we can't fuck around and have that not be available.
Mm. Oprah will take this country down.
Well, speaking of Oprah taking this country down, actually, this next story has nothing to do with that. Although Dr. Oz has announced for that he's running for Senate. So that could be Oprah taking this country down. Jesus. Down the path of victory. Because, yeah, Dr. Oz is a hero, personal hero of mine. One of the greats to ever do it.
One of the greatest doctors.
He is actually a good doctor who just...
you got Phil, Oz, Drew, Gupta, the classic doctors.
Dr. Oz, the biggest tragedy of Dr. Oz is he was actually like one of the nation's top heart surgeons and gave that up to go do this bullshit. To build life.
Well, now he's in the nation's hearts.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in the hearts of all.
And there saying, you know, ladies, the vagina is like a self-cleaning oven.
That's right.
And you're like, okay, don't. Why are you doing a whole segment on this, Dr. Oz? This is on TV. That's some real shit.
Yeah, it gets hot.
I'm not joking. There's a whole clip where he's explaining. You're like, this is the weirdest TV I've ever fucking seen. Like, why? And like, just watching people in the audience, like, oh wow, self cleaning oven, huh?
Right, with like a stage sized model of the vagina that you could walk through.
That's sick. Yeah. I clean my oven with a Lysol douche, like Summer's Eve. I put Summer's Eve in my oven.
There you go. Yeah. It all works.
After
together.
I fuck it. I don't want it to get pregnant. I don't want to get a bun in there.
There you go. I mean,
That's fucking stupid. I'm sorry, guys. That's stupid.
It's actually probably where Dr. Oz came up with the oven metaphor, was hearing people talk about getting a bun in the oven.
Yeah.
I should be making more money. I should be making that Dr. Oz money.
Damn. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Republicans real quick, because they are threatening to, you know, hold the funding for the government hostage and shut the government down pretty soon, I think on Friday. And their main complaint is Biden's vaccine and testing mandates. And so that made me ask, like, do they think this is a winner, like, for them? I know it's popular with a small number of, like, a small portion of their base, but... You know, as we've seen just in overall numbers and polling, and also how people react with regards to like school board votes and stuff, being pro recklessness when it comes to the vaccine isn't very popular. All evidence that's like undeniable. Like, there's just a televangelist leader of the Daystar television network, which I'm hoping they came up with after the first season of Succession. Because it rhymes with the Succession company, but he called the vaccine a sin, said, you know, pitched alternative methods of treating it. He just died of COVID. So it just seems like there's kind of the, and then also Trump reportedly tested positive before his debate with Biden, before he went and met with a room full of Gold Star families, before he like went to a bunch of different events and spoke. And, you know, we kind of suspected this at the time, but it also feels like a different lifetime, a lifetime ago. But yeah.
September of 2020.
Let's
dial it back for once, that hellacious time. But I mean, the whole thing with this too is, in terms of like messaging, the anti-mandate vax crew, they just beat the administration to like the punch of being like, nah, we're gonna get in everybody's head that this is ridiculous, this is too much, this is like, this is the opposite of safe, this is actually like bad, because the polling around it is like, it's not even a majority. Like if you ask at this point, if in a poll of all adults, 47%, only 47% favor like a vaccine mandate.
Oh wow.
And 50% oppose. So I'm sure on some level conservatives look at that number and go, okay, that's something there. And then within their party, when the Republicans, 77% oppose. Within Democrats, 18% oppose. So it's splitting down party, race, all that lines pretty predictably. But I think it's a weird one to do, because you know, we have a new variant that may be something to be concerned about, plus just whatever happens with an inevitable winter surge of infections. If people are still going to be like, yeah, it's fine. This is what I'm fighting for.
Right.
I just don't understand, like, the hypocrisy. Like, I can't wrap my brain around, like, okay, so Trump boasts that he's the reason we have this vaccine, but you guys are still, like, it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, does just nothing make sense? Like, yeah, the Republicans are vaccinated, but you're listening to them telling you not to. Like, I'm at this point where I just like am at a loss for how you can possibly communicate with people at this point, right? Like, it's almost just like there is no communicating with this crazy sector of the country who literally is just defying logic at every turn and like constantly has no problem with like contradicting themselves just to like be able to claim freedom at the end of the day. You know, it's just this weird fucking mindset that there's no talking to.
Well, I think that's the part, is like, it really isn't about logic. It's just about like rhetorically that I'm not doing what you say. So it doesn't matter if you understand why I'm saying that. The fact is, you're Joe Biden. I'm just philosophically opposed to everything. And then even then, but it's even funny because I know how people be like, well, yeah, the vaccine is good, but not everybody needs to take it. And some people, they're getting sick and they're like, congressperson, aren't you fully vaccinated? They're like, shut the fuck up. This messaging works for this specific group of people I'm trying to get on the opposite end of the spectrum so they oppose Joe Biden. And I will turn and say something different to maybe people who aren't as resistant to vaccines, and I'll pivot to something like, think of the kids and like how they got to wear masks and they're so confused because all this mask wearing, it's just terrible.
I am seeing it start to break through with it. I think it's just people's general being exhausted by, like, worn down by the pandemic. And they're like, we're going to do another lockdown that really worked last time. And it's like, well, this is kind of a long term fight. Yeah, it did.
If you didn't, like, you just way don't know. People would have died.
Yeah, but I'm seeing that break more mainstream. The idea of like, this is bullshit. Like, I'm not doing another lockdown. You guys didn't.
Another vaccine.
Nothing happened to me last time.
It's also crazy to me that like people don't realize this is the same shit that's happening all around the world. Like, so many of these people make it seem like, watch it, the US government's trying to control you. And it's like, bro, every fucking country in the world is literally having the same exact conversations. And there are other countries that are far stricter than ours. And they're not all communist countries. Like, it doesn't make, I don't understand how people can be this much in their own bubble to not realize those things, you know?
Yeah. That's America though, right there. You know, no understanding of the rest of the world, how that relates to what you have or where you are. You live quite literally in your bubble of what you can see directly in front of you, because people who I know who are anti-vax, they say the same shit, which is always relying on anecdotal information. That's pretty much like, even people who seem like more reasonable that are anti-vax, they're like, well, I mean, to be real, like, I don't know anybody who's gotten really that sick. Like, the people who I know, like, they were sick for a little bit, but it wasn't that bad. So I don't know. And then they're like, oh, actually, this person that like whose butcher store we go to, the guy there died.
Right.
So now you do know someone's like, but maybe that won't change your mind because maybe because you didn't know him personally enough. That's just a weird thing where it's just, you know, and I get it. It's fucking scary for people to think that they have no control over their safety, like whatsoever. Right, right. So for, and I'm sure there's another group too, whether they might, you know, might not be straight up conservatives, just more of a mindset of like denial about their lack of control over something. And the only way they can operate is to just actively deny that they're in any kind of danger.
Yeah. There's a new study making the rounds on social media as of yesterday that's about how, like, it's a new study in quotes. Mm. It's basically an abstract that people have copied and pasted saying that mRNA vaccines have been linked to heart disease. And so now, like, Reuters and all the respectable journalistic institutions are having to jump on top of it and be like, that's actually, there's no evidence for that. Like, that study doesn't have any evidence, but it's just, it does feel a little bit like this is what America wants to believe so badly. Right. That you're just like, you know, trying to hand out speeding tickets at the Indy 500 type thing. It's just like, this shit is, you're going to believe this because you want to believe this. But yeah, it's a really good point. I can't remember who it was, but I was listening to somebody interviewed talking about being in Paris for the beginning of the pandemic and just, you know, they were 4 weeks into lockdown and watching Americans be like, fuck this doesn't, like, this is made up, like, you guys made this shit up, and him being like, that doesn't, we've been in it too and nobody over here thinks it's made up. But yeah, that's a not the best at kind of seeing the big picture, I guess.
No, and I think to the, even like this idea of the messaging around mandates, and clearly, like, the anti side got, you know, they got in a frenzy over it. It's like, I'm like, I don't even know what the administration could have done given the state of things in the United, in the U.S. But like, you damn sure could have messaged harder to be like, this is what happens. Here are some little graphics so you understand shit. Here's what happened. This is why you have to actually, this is how you're going to get out of a pandemic or things like that. And I know there were, you know, there were presentations here and there, but, you know, I think their allies on places like CNN and MSNBC were just kind of spending more time being like, can you believe these assholes who are like, don't want to lock down? That's not going to compel somebody who's on the fence. Like, rather than being like the coverage being around the safety of it, what will happen, like how this is a way to ensure people's safety. And because it just became more like, oh, these people don't get it or whatever. And yeah, we talk about that to an extent here. But it's interesting how when you have all those tools at your disposal as a presidential administration, that you completely just, you know, the best you can do is get Olivia Rodrigo to like say a couple things. Like, come on, Joe. Right.
It's not nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Olivia Rodrigo. But it's just further proof of how terrible the Democrats really are at messaging all around. And also just like, liberal media doubles down on that by turning the news into like gossip TV, and just like half of their newscast is spent pulling up clips of Fox News and then commentating on it. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not actually giving people information. You're just sitting there like making a fucking reaction video that like a YouTuber would do, essentially. You know, that's what's, I think they're failing to actually give people real information and things like that.
Yeah. It's based on the myth and like reinforcing the myth that people who believe liberal things are smarter than people who believe conservative things. And just that being the end goal of their coverage is like, look at these idiots, right? But we're smart. And it's just like, actually, you guys are idiots too. First of all, we're all idiots, but that's definitely not the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do just want to talk about like the Trump story. This is not that this will have any effect on his ability to just storm back to the White House in 2024, but he did have COVID. He had tested positive for COVID days in advance of the Biden debate, which obviously him putting Joe Biden's old ass in danger probably will just make people on the Republican side like him more. But he also attended an indoor meeting with Gold Star families literally the day after he tested positive, And that's the meeting that he claimed had given him COVID. So not only did he put them at risk, he claimed that they gave it to him, even though he had already tested positive. And he said specifically that these people were within an inch of my face sometimes. They want to hug me, they want to kiss me, and they do. And frankly, I'm not telling them to back up. So
that's not you improvising right there. That's a fucking quote.
Legit. Yeah. That's a quote. That's word for word. He said that. And he is, again, describing a meeting he had with the families of fallen soldiers the day after he tested positive for COVID, that people were inches from his face. And, you know, he was willing to kiss and hug them.
But they gave it to him.
Right. Even though he had already tested positive. But
no.
Anyways, and then just the other thing, we're going to get into Dr. Oz a little bit more in the coming days, but I think that's another example of like people reading the tea leaves and being like, damn, man, Americans really want this COVID thing to be like a hoax. And they I think he recognizes like he's the doctor who's willing to be anti-vax and, you know, entertain anti-vax perspectives. And so it seems weird that he's like running for Senate. Yeah. At the same time, something in the culture and in the zeitgeist made him be like, yeah, it's my time right now.
He's just a thirsty stunt queen who happens to be a doctor. Right. That's really what it is, because it's not, he's never being guided by his education as a doctor. It's always like, how am I going to be famous? How am I going to make my profile? How am I going to increase that even further? And if I got to say, I love hydroxychloroquine, then let's go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing as Trump. He was just like a rich dude who wants to be a celebrity, you know, and like the ultimate celebrity in the world is going to be the president of the United States, you know. So I think Dr. Oz is taking a page out of his playbook. But I mean, I remember when Dr. Oz was on the Breakfast Club and he was talking about quarantining from his family. So, I mean, like, are you really, you know, it's like, all this shit is available. You know what I mean? Like, it's all documented, people's perspectives and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, people are too, I don't want to say dumb, but man, dumb to not look up, you know, a lot of this stuff and prove him wrong.
I think, I think there's just like this weird duality that a lot of people have, especially in the West, as it relates to like the media, right? Like, there's this weird thing that as if being on TV legitimizes every single fucking thing you say. Because it's like in the back of your mind, it's like, well, they can't be on TV just lying about shit. They're on TV. That's how you're on TV. Like, it's like fucking grad school or some shit. Like, there's no way you could just stumble upon TV. But that is the case. And then at the same time, they're like a lot of people are grappling with some things being legitimized merely because they've been presented to them on TV, and other things also being total bullshit because it's on TV. There's like a lot of people holding two like realities sort of in their minds at the same time, because I think that is a thing we see just even with Donald Trump. Like, people are like, well, he's on TV, he's rich. Like, I mean, this dude wouldn't have done shit if he wasn't on TV. So, shout out to the real kingmaker, TV. Because, I mean, McConaughey almost run, you know, like, there's just so much. We just love it. We just love the TV.
We thought we were getting television, but television got us. That's a quote from a quiz game or quiz show.
Quiz show. Was that Ralph Fiennes and John Turturro?
Yeah.
By Geritol.
That shit is really good. If people like, I missed it when it first came out. I thought it was like just like a lame kind of history movie, but that shit was really good.
My mom took me to the theater to see that shit.
Yeah.
That's why I remember so vividly Geritol, and I was like, what the fuck was this era? This was real?
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
And we're back, and we do, you know, we were talking about how Matthew McConaughey was polling better than either candidate in the Texas governor's race, and he had voiced, you know, interest in running for governor. It feels very much like, you know, if he was flirting with somebody, like, just in a friendly way. And they were like, "We're gonna get married."
Like, did you see that?
He fucking loves me.
Touched my shoulder when he left.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, politics is like the star power here is off the charts.
Right.
He's into it. Let's get him in. Let's get him in here. And he was just like, "Oh no, sorry, I wasn't serious about that." Is basically where we're at.
Yeah, I think while many were like, "Oh wow, look at that, he's putting the smash on Greg Abbott," he had to announce, okay, that he's. As much as y'all wanted it, he might not be able to deliver. He just tweeted from his Twitter account an American flag emoji with this video clip.
Hey, everybody, McConaughey here. Listen, over the past 2 years, I've been working on the answer to the question of how I can be most useful in this life going forward. Useful to myself, useful to my family, and to the most amount of people. One category of service I've been exploring is politics. I've been considering a run for the governor of Texas. I've been listening, I've been learning, I've been measuring, I've been studying Texas politics and American politics. What have I learned? A lot. That we have some problems we need to fix. That our politics needs new purpose. That we have divides that need healing.
Okay.
We need more trust in our lives. All
right. He's teasing us.
We gotta start shining a light on our shared values.
He's gonna
the ones that cross party lines, the ones that build bridges instead of burn them. But our children burn them are our greatest asset. So, hey, let's be as good of parents as we can be.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so all that to say.
Wait, does that get, like that? That's a 3 minute long video. Does he eventually say, "But I'm not going to run"? What the fuck?
Yes. All that to be like, but I'm off this.
Okay.
Look, and I think that's what we should. I think we should have expected nothing less from Matthew McConaughey because he loves a monologue. He loves a monologue, which I'm also surprised. That's all you get to do when you're a politician, Matt.
Right.
That's what he thought
he would only get to do as the governor, right. though, you know?
Right. And then the second he's like, I don't know. I feel like people should decide if they want the vaccine. People are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Hey, shit. All right.
It's not just
one-way monologues like I thought. So, yeah, all that to say is he was just saying, you know, he is a simple man and he considered the path of political leadership and it's humbling, but he's deciding to not take it at this moment. Mm. So he's not going to be throwing his sweat-soaked workout bandana into the ring.
Do we think that the people that were behind him are going to go to Beto?
Beto definitely had worse numbers against him, so that could suggest that there's like more room to grow with McConaughey leaving the race, but it also feels like...
Hey, look, he tried, man. He tried. Beto tried. I don't know if he's going to get some better strategery behind his campaign to try and make, get a different result. But I mean, it feels like we've rang that rag dry, whatever you're going to get out of Beto O'Rourke in terms of, you know, his ability to like win in Texas. I know a lot of people support him, but it just seems like there may be some newer ideas. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think generally that's just the problem with people running Democrats is like there aren't many exciting, like, you know, in terms of like spotlighted candidates, there's not a lot that you're like, oh, maybe that guy. No.
Yeah.
It seems to be coming from like the newer generation of younger politicians that have like something a little bit different to offer.
Well, who else is running, right? This is the election's the primary's going to be March 1st. Next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be Beto or Abbott. And, you know, as a podcast, we haven't decided who we're going to officially endorse there. No. Yeah. I mean, Beto, obviously the lesser of two evils, the far lesser of two evils. So hopefully people do kind of get in line behind him. I just don't know, like, how much enthusiasm there's going to be for him at this point. But
I mean, I don't know if let's see. I think is Julian Castro might run.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So I mean, you know, he used to be the mayor of San Antonio. I think he might have who knows? He could have a good shot. I think when you just look at sort of the politics there and like the way campaigns are going to be run, it's hard to really imagine like rhetorically what this thing's going to look like and who's going to be best suited when you're debating someone who's like, books make little white kids feel bad. Change my mind.
Right.
And, you know, that's sort of where the limits are of the discourse.
Yeah. I mean, as important as that race is, we do have to move on to an even more important state-based competition. And yes, that is, of course, America's favorite Christmas candy, brought to you by candystore.com. It is another one of those.
You say
maps.
That like this is SponCon.
I know.
Don't
it did
it
sound
like
a lot like SponCon.
Yo, fuck that. They're not giving a shit.
It's a bad map. Fuck these maps. There's something that I probably couldn't say if it was SponCon. But
brought to you by candystore.com. Fuck them.
Yeah.
And here's our favorite candy.
But you guys probably go to the page rather than, and again, I sound like I'm just go to the page. And when they ask for your information, just like you can trust them.
Just surrender it.
Yeah. But it's they did ask 23,000 people from across America what their favorite candy was. And then, you know, organize that data based on state, cross-referenced it with candy manufacturers to make sure sales back up the findings. And it's, you know, it does feel like it's a little bit more like, rather than the ones where every state has a different like candy that they like,
right,
which feel like it has been edited in order to make it as interesting as possible. Here, like, it's the answers are pretty like appropriately boring. It's peppermint bark is like not is king. Peppermint bark is king.
I like that it is. It feels like things, if you went to the store in the Christmas candy section, it's like these seven things that you're used to seeing. Because like some of the other maps, like what's everyone's favorite Thanksgiving side? And there's like these wild esoteric ones, like, man, they like candied pig's hooves. And you're like, what the fuck? Is that even real?
This definitely feels like a CVS aisle or a Walgreens aisle of candy. Yeah.
Right.
Though, because like I think there's some that are missing. Like, why is fudge not on here? Like, I feel like, you know, holiday fudge with peppermint bark, but that's not something you get it.
The main ones you see are like Reese's Cups, sure. Reese's Pieces, like in the little, or sorry, Reese's Pieces.
Thank you, sir.
In like a candy cane form, like a plastic cone cane or cane. Then like the holiday colored Hershey Kisses. This all shit that's normal. And the candy canes, like whatever. That's like when I was a kid, I used to like them because I was like free sugar that you could find like available at a store.
But it always reminded me too much of toothpaste. It was just like, why? What? This is like a toothpaste popsicle. The fuck out of here with that.
Look, they just hardened this toothpaste and put a little candy swirl around it. They got me eating
it. It's like toothpaste, except it rots your teeth instead of cleaning them. Mm. My theory is that that peppermint bark they call it like the hard charging peppermint bark because it's like taking over a bunch of states that used to be Reese's Cup strongholds, and they're saying that like it's the biggest grower, and I'm wondering if it's because they have all this equipment to make candy canes, but like most of the country has found out that there's other candy besides candy canes. Like, they don't think that that's only Christmas candy. So they're like, all right, what if we dropped it and then just, like, picked up the pieces and glued it onto, like, some low-quality chocolate? Like, that's...
Now you got something. Yeah. I like peppermint bark. It's funny because I haven't had... The first time I had it was, like, 7 years ago.
Yeah,
I was pretty ignorant to the peppermint bark game.
It's a new kid on the block.
It's yummy.
Yeah, but it's like...
Can we talk about the reindeer corn that's on this list?
Yeah, that's the one weird one.
It's so weird. It's like candy. I've never heard of candy corn in Christmas colors.
Yeah,
which is what it looks like. This is
the Deep South is having a tough go here on this map. We got Louisiana and Oklahoma are both candy cane strongholds, with like one of the few. And then you've got reindeer corn number one in Alabama. Reindeer corn is candy corn with different food coloring, just a red, green, and white.
A lie. I mean, though we're just looking at green and red M&Ms, and acting like it's a completely different product too. So, okay, fair play to reindeer corn. I can't hate totally, but yeah, it looks not good. Also, Florida, what are you doing?
I mean,
Skittles? There's holiday Skittles?
Holiday mix Skittles, that is something I was not aware existed. I don't know, like, what is a holiday? So is it like apples and like oranges and pears, like the things that you get in like a fruit gift basket or something? Like, what is a holiday Skittles mix?
I don't know. I think it could just be different colors.
Okay. It's a Christmas flavored. No. Okay. Yeah, so flavors include banana berry, gross, kiwi lime, no thank you. Mango tangelo.
No.
Pineapple passion fruit, strawberry star fruit, berry punch, melon berry, raspberry, strawberry, and wild cherry. So there's a lot going on there.
Oh, so it's like from the blue pack, right? Aren't those the blue Skittles flavors from the blue pouch?
Okay, so you know what? I was actually reading a Skittles mashups, wild berry, and tropical candy. So ignore everything I just said, but don't edit it out, please. It's important to me that everybody hear how stupid I am. Okay.
It also looks like Pez has made the list.
Oh, where are they at? Who's Pezing it up?
They're second and third in Louisiana, New Mexico, New Jersey. I gotta say, I was a big Pez fan growing up.
Oh, Pez is a great stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Pez because it was like a toy. You know what I mean? Like, it was the closest thing because you'd be like, oh shit, look, it's fucking Superman.
Yeah.
Or fucking Gumby.
Yeah.
I think, did I have a Gumby Pez dispenser? Anyway, all that to say that, like, these kinds of candies, though, I feel like chocolate should be king of the holidays, but I'm very biased.
Okay, so what are your favorite holiday candies?
Mini Reese's Cups, Reese's Pieces, any M&M.
Do they have to be in that, like, tree triangle, shape? like the tree? Or do you like just generic circle?
Oh, yeah, Reese's.
Treeses? You need treeses?
I actually take the little... I take the little mini cups and build a life-size Christmas tree out of them and then just eat it as fast as I possibly can.
Bit by bit. I love, look, peppermint bark, I'll fucking eat that shit all day. Because it reminds me of like Andes chocolate, you know, mint chocolate.
I love Andes.
Yeah. That's, and I think as a kid, that was like my favorite little kind of, you know, wrapper chocolate that you could get with like at someone's house or whatever, or at a grandparent's home. So yeah, peppermint bark evokes that. I'm also, I like thin mints. So like, you know, mint chocolate chip ice cream, whenever you're mashing mint and chocolate together, I'm here for it.
You know who is fucking up is Andes and whoever's in charge of their marketing, because right. Andes should be here instead of peppermint bark, or Andes should have peppermint bark.
Exactly.
Or York. Shouldn't York peppermint patties be here?
Yeah, I mean.
They're fucking up too.
Yeah.
York and Andes, they need to squad up and then pull up to Peppermint Bark's house and just spray the shit out that place. You know what I mean? Let them know it's war.
So Arkansas has a new winner, and it is Starburst Merry Mix.
Gross.
Cherry Cheer and Strawberry Blitzen are the two flavors, and it's all red and green.
Just added a word to the regular flavor.
And made cherry strawberry green? Come on, y'all. What are we doing here?
Look, it's all marketing, but peppermint bark, number one.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Peppermint Bark and any, you know, whatever candy executive was like dropped a can, threw a candy cane in fury at how bad sales had become, and then like saw the shattered pieces and were like, everybody sit down. I got an idea. Get your
it sounds like it sounds like the plot to a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, could be.
Oh.
Miles, how are you doing, by the way? I feel like I'm falling down on the job asking you this late in our first post-Thanksgiving episode. How are you feeling about the coming Hallmark Christmas movie season?
Coming? It's been happening for the past month.
I haven't checked out the Hallmark stuff. I started off by trawling Netflix for the ones Netflix has made. I watched the Prince at Christmas Switch 3 with Vanessa Hudgens. That one's getting away from him. You know, hate to say it. That one's gotten completely away from him. I don't know what the point is of it and how it relates to Christmas. I watched the other one with Jimmy O Yang and Nina Dobrev. That one was,
I haven't watched that one yet. I wanted to watch it.
I kind of bailed on it like I do with, if I'm not fucking with it by the end of the second act, I'm like, I don't even need to see the third act. I'm off.
Right.
Because I just like the vibes. Right. And then I watched another one that was about Santa's daughter who avoid. This one was wild. Santa's daughter, it's like treated like a Shakespearean thing where like they have to like, she's almost being betrothed to the Jack Frost family in order for Santa and Frost to like have a tight bond. But then there was also like talk of like teaming up with the Tooth Fairy. It was a very bizarre thing. So her solution is just to go to college and try and be a regular person.
Got it.
And that one was super all over the place. But overall, yeah, I'm fully in it. Are there any good Hallmark ones, Tess, coming out?
Yeah, I just watched the first Indian full cast one last night. It's called, what was it called? Baking Spirits Bright. And it's about like this like South Indian woman who's making her nanny's plum fruit cake. And so they have this whole like fruit cake business. I don't know. I'm obviously, for people that know, like I'm really into Hallmark movies for, I don't know why. And it was cool to finally see representation in Hallmark. There's usually more representation in Lifetime Christmas movies than Hallmark. Mm. But it's been cool. That one was okay. There was also like Boyfriends of Christmas Past, which has an Asian American female protagonist, and her love interests are all multiple races. So that was also cool.
Yeah, that's like the one with the Jimmy O Yang one. I was like, okay. I'm like, they got him and the one from Never Have I Ever, that guy who is like the Japanese guy. So I was like, okay, look at the. I've that was the thing I've always been like, when are we gonna see Asian people in these movies?
Yeah. Mm.
When?
So I feel like we're making a turn has been made, and maybe our scripts will finally get picked up.
And to ask you, you said you're working on a script. I didn't want to be like, is that the holiday movie one?
Holiday script is done. I wrote the Merry Muslim Christmas rom-com back in 2018. I just pandemic happened and I don't really know how to sell scripts. But hopefully I can do something
Nor
with it
now. Nor does anyone. Yeah.
Mar Vista Entertainment. They take pitches all the time. Yeah, they do a ton of the Christmas movies. I pitched.
Were you
to
working
them.
on a Christmas script?
I was. We pitched it. I pitched it to them. It didn't work out. They passed on it.
Boo. You know?
And then I kind of see, my idea popping up on other stuff. I'm not saying nothing, but I will say that it's also very the creativity amongst the Christmas films is pretty limited. So
there's two colors that you're working with, red and green, and your starburst can be green and red or red and green.
There's a new one coming out on Comedy Central next week that features two Indian girls, and it's kind of like I think Cal Penn's in it too, so it's like a Diwali Christmas mashup.
What is your favorite Christmas movie, Lifetime, Hallmark, or otherwise?
Otherwise, it's Edward Scissorhands.
Mm-hmm. Edward Scissorhands, the prequel.
The prequel. Right.
Where he's only got one hand and still pretty good. He doesn't have a scarred up face. He's just doing
it. Hey, man, we should scissor this other hand.
All right. Oh, man. That is exactly what my dad would call it. He can't get pluralizing anything. Brad Pitt is Brad Pitts, and Pitts, Edward Scissorhands is Edward Scissorhand for sure.
Is Edward Scissorhands.
Scissorhands. That would be if there were multiple, if there's a multiplicity type situation and you have multiple Edwards Scissorhand.
What's your outlier Christmas movie, Jack? Is it Die Hard?
I mean, that's such a whack answer, but Die Hard was the portion of my life when I was thought I was too grown up to say Jaws was my favorite movie. I said Die Hard was my favorite movie. So I do really love Die Hard. Also really love Die Hard 2, which is pretty absurd and over the top and also very Christmassy. But yeah, I mean, I think I like the classics. You're Scrooged.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the movie Love Hard with Jimmy O Yang, it's called Love Hard. Because like kind of one of the sort of thrusts of it is like they bond over their love for Die Hard as a Christmas film.
Oh, interesting.
Like, oh, wow.
And it's meant to sort of be like this hot take that like she's like, no one believed me until you. And the whole conceit of it is kind of interesting. Dude, Jimmy O Yang, from Silicon Valley, you probably remember him. He basically was catfishing Nina Dobrev with another dude's picture. And she thought she was like with this like other guy. And so. And they've like, they hit it off over phone and text and shit like that. And then he's like, hey, why don't you come to, he didn't invite her. He said, oh, I wish I could spend the holidays with you. And she took that as, I'm going to go surprise him. So then she pulls up and realizes like, you are not the gentleman from the fucking photo. And that's where the hijinks ensue.
Mm. But she's acting like this is the first she's ever heard of somebody claiming that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Wait, no, I mean, like, her thing is, like, she argues with people who don't believe that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Right, okay.
And then they're like, hey, it is a Christmas movie. It's the perfect Christmas movie. And you're like, okay, thank you, very specific. My outlier pick for Christmas movie, I guess if it's an outlier, I don't know, Bad Santa, there's something about how fucked up he is, and it puts me in the holiday spirit. and more traditionally... Oh, I love Jingle All the Way.
I've never seen Jingle All the Way.
Oh, my God.
I need to watch that.
Jack, you got to get a Turbo Man doll for your kid. You're going to be a bad dad. That one. And also Home Alone 2, man. I like New York. I fucking love New York in the winter.
Home Alone 2.
So there's something about Home Alone 2 I fuck with heavy.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's the idea of, I think as a kid, I like the autonomy in the city as a child that Kevin experienced in Home Alone 2 and be like, oh, shit, look at you. Like, duping people with your talk boy and shit.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. And also the idea that you could just get room service and eat a bunch of ice cream. It just still resonates with my childish brain.
And you said that it's your favorite cameo of all time is
Donald Trump.
Trump showing up. And 100%. You said that's when you knew he was a star. You said
that's when I said, I remember as a kid, I said, this guy about to be the president.
What's the matter? A store wouldn't accept your stolen credit card is a fun movie quote.
Yeah.
They only let Trump onto that movie because they wanted to film in the plaza. Like that was the stipulation.
Right.
Yeah. He was like, deal. If I'm
if I can play Kevin. What? I mean, or just show up, you know, whatever.
All right.
If you don't like me for the role, it's fine. I'll just show up.
Perfect idea. He passes me. We lock eyes. He realizes I'm him in the future. And I realize that's me as a boy. And then we can go off on a whole other narrative where I'm the king of New York.
There you go.
Oh, the sticky bandits. Put him in jail forever.
And there's a new Home Alone, too, with like a little kid. It's on Disney Plus. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. And but, is it Anna Kendrick in it, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that one, is it still in the tradition of the Home Alones, you know?
I think so. I think I'm not sure if they're trying to redo the first one or if it's like the third chapter.
Oh, it's Ellie Kemper. Ellie Kemper, Archie Yates. Hey, Ashlyn B., my past guest, Rob Delaney, Pete Holmes.
Okay.
But yeah, that one, I think that came out earlier this or last month. And yeah, Mikey Day, I guess, wrote this too. So you got a lot of interesting comedy things going on there. But that one says, a married couple tries to steal back a valuable heirloom from a troublesome kid. And isn't that the spirit of Christmas?
The Wet Bandits are a married couple, man.
I mean, yeah.
If that's not progress, I guess it's not.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.